Blog Talk Radio.
Marine Corps Band, and that's without any instruments which the government took away from them. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America, a party book. I was watching some hearings today, and they were talking about doing away with cigarettes in the commissaries. And so you know what that means, that the GIs that still smoke, they're going to have to go out and buy their cigarettes on the outside. Not one congressman said, and they'll have to pay 10 times more than they're paying now. But you see, the communists that want to destroy the morale of any troops that are still left employed, and they'll do nothing. They'll stop at nothing to destroy their morale, like closing the commissaries and laying the wives of the guys who are overseas off, who have the jobs stocking shelves and working the checkout counters. Yeah, anything to bring the military down, they will do. Well, somebody sent me this. I'm going to share it with you. It's a famous presidential lies. And I, on my business card, I have, if you really want to support the troops, if you really support the troops, send them $1 million each. Yeah, nobody's taken me up on it yet, but you never can tell. Some GI may get lucky. Famous presidential lies. LBJ, we were attacked in the Gulf of Tonkin. Nixon, I'm not a crook. G.H.W. Bush, read my lips, no new taxes. Clinton, I did not have sex with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. Do you know that after that scandal broke, that he was in Germany and with the German chancellor, I forget the guy's name, I don't know if it was Gerhard Schroeder, but Clinton was sitting there like a jerk, and the Germans were talking in German, and they were making fun of him and Monica Lewinsky and the cigar incident, and they offered him a cigar, and they all laughed at Clinton. And Clinton would turn beet red with embarrassment. So he tried to save the day by quoting a JFK, and he jumped up and he said, "Ich bin ein Sexmaschinen." Yeah, JFK's quote was, "I'm a Berliner." Yeah, and the Germans loved him for it, man. They loved him. Clinton, they knew what he was. They have plenty in their country. We have guys like him. They're a dime a dozen. Yeah. I also saw that the Filipino veterans who fought in the jungle war in the Philippines against the Japanese alongside the Americans and rescued Americans and took bayonets in the back for giving Americans a cup of water on the Bataan Death March. These same Filipino veterans were promised by Roosevelt, MacArthur, and Omar Bradley that they would enjoy the same benefits as American troops. They never got it. They never got it. And now, 65 years later, they're fighting to get it, the ones that are left. You see, that's what we do. America can't be counted on by anybody. And I haven't seen any troops in Nigeria yet. Maybe they'll send Matt Damon to make a movie. He'll play a gorilla. Yeah, with six bananas. Yeah, unbelievable, man, unbelievable. So, and this is a lie. After Clinton's sex with the woman, Miss Lewinsky. G.W. Bush, Iraq has weapons of mass destruction. I got to tell you about that one. Nobody could guarantee our safety. If you lived in New York the night of 9/11, you were in the bathroom a lot. And you were worried about Osama bin Laden's other shoe to drop. Nobody could guarantee our safety. There wasn't a plane in the sky. The only thing that was in the sky was the DNA dust and smoke and ashes of 30 or 200 Americans who had been caught by surprise and butchered, including 200 pregnant pro-life moms with their 200 children. And they all were crushed to death in less than 10 minutes. And 343 firemen, among others, who gave their lives to save as many as they could. And never forget that Osama bin Laden's goal was 100,000 dead Americans. And he only got 3,200. That was after the second attempt. The first attempt was in 93 when the Clintons were there covering up the Al-Qaeda terrorism that was growing throughout the land and the world. And just like Obama is covering up the Al-Qaeda terrorism that's growing up beyond the world. Okay, so Bush had no choice. He was sitting in a schoolhouse in Florida, in a children's school, and the communist said he took too long to evacuate. He took 8 minutes. And Hillary Clinton says she'll be there to get that 3 o'clock phone call, and Obama won't. Well, she was right about Obama, but she was wrong about Hillary because she didn't take the 3 o'clock phone call either. And that was four guys begging for a rescue. And somebody hung up the phone live on those four guys, and I want to know who that is. So, Trey, boy, get him. Go get him, boy. Go get him, son. Eat him up. Take no prisoners. Drag him out and expose him. Okay, so now we have all of those liars, so-called, all right? And here's something. You want to talk about lies and cover-ups? Bush lost 4,700 Americans in his war against Iraq, an entire country. He hanged Saddam Hussein, and he buried his Saddam's sons Uday and Qusay, and he almost caught Nancy Pelosi, and he buried Saddam's sons on Sandal Hill. So not bad for a cowboy that only rides a bicycle. And nobody could guarantee our safety. Nobody in the world could guarantee our safety. And if you've been caught with your pants down once, you don't want to get caught with your pants down twice. So if somebody said Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction, and if you're counting Chemical Ali's job in Halabja, where he killed, 5,000 Kurds? Huh? You want to talk about mistakes? Mistakes were giving the Iraqis their helicopters back so that they could gun down the Kurds that were hiding, that were exposed on cold mountaintops with only tents. Yeah, Saddam got what was coming to him, and so did his two sons. Anybody that can go into a high school and pick out girls to be raped for the weekend doesn't deserve to live. And so God punished them. Yeah. Okay. And let's face it, Saddam Hussein was the biggest jerk of the 20th and 21st century. There's nobody dumber than this guy, who had all the money, all the wealth, but 13 palaces, like 2,000 cars. He had his own bank. On Sunday, he could go in and pick up $1 million in cash for flash money. He had it all. And he chose to bluff Bush, who didn't take the bluff. And who were we relying on to prove that he had weapons of mass destruction? A guy named Mohammed Baradei was the UN weapons inspector and bribe taker who said Saddam didn't have them. And, of course, the communists, which used to be the Democrat Party, which is now the Communist Party, the communists said there are no weapons there because Mohammed Baradei told us so. And you know who Mohammed Baradei is, the UN weapons inspector? He just ran for president of Iran. And he's telling everybody there's no nukes coming our way. Unbelievable. So now that we've covered all the lies of the other presidents, here comes Obama's list. I will have the most transparent administration in history. The stimulus will find shovel-ready jobs. You know, it's one thing to say that you're going to take billions and use it and spend it on shovel-ready jobs. And it's another thing to laugh at Americans when you don't produce one. And it's not funny when your advisor, Robert Reich, says about the money that was allocated for shovel-ready jobs, do not spend $1 on white construction workers. That's from a Jewish white guy. And he's saying, do not spend $1 on white construction workers. How's that? Suppose we said, don't spend any money on Robert Reich. How would he like it? I am focused like a laser on creating jobs. The IRS is not targeting anyone. It was a spontaneous riot about a movie. If I had a son, I will put an end to the type of politics that breeds division, conflict, and cynicism as soon as we wipe out every cattle rancher in the country, every farmer and fisherman. We'll buy our fish from the Soviet Union, who'll be fishing right off of Martha's Vineyard. Yeah, and what's the hole up there, Woods Hole? You didn't believe that. I will restore trust in government. The government is hated and despised, and soon we will arm against it. And that's not my prediction. That is the rumble talk in the grapevine. The grapevine that can't be tapped. What is he talking about, the grapevine that can't be tapped? Put a tap on his... Get a warrant. We don't need a warrant. Just arrest them. Charge them with video making. I will restore trust in government. The Cambridge cops acted stupidly. You know who acted stupidly? The Cambridge cop that settled for a beer with a guy that sold him and his entire police department out. Man, I would have poured that beer on his head. Politely. Politely. So, don't worry, I'm not hitting him with the bottle. I'm just pouring the beer. Stand back, Secret Service. Yeah. Well, he could have just, shook it up and squirted him. That would have been good. And they could have laughed about it. Said, look, I did it to him. I did it to me. Yeah, we're friends. We're buddies. The Cambridge cops acted stupidly. The public will have 5 days to look at every bill that lands on my desk. It's not my red line. It's the world's red line. Whistleblowers will be protected in my administration unless they're blowing the whistle on me. And then we'll put a wiretap not only on them but on their parents. Whatever happened to, what's his name, Rosen? Is it James Rosen that works for Fox? You never heard that story about how Obama put a put the vice grips on him and on his father. Nobody ever talks about that. You know, it's like it's water under the bridge. Yeah, the only water that's under the bridge is at Chappaquiddick, and we still haven't gotten to the bottom of the Ted Kennedy murders. Yeah, it's not my... Just because he's in hell doesn't mean he can't stand trial. It's not my red line. It's the world's red line. Whistleblowers will be protected. We got back every dime we used to rescue the banks and auto companies. That's a lie. With interest. Let me tell you what happened with the GM bailout. The real people, the people that put up money as an investment to make a buck, they all got thrown to the wolves. The preferred stockholders never got paid, and many dealers never got their dealerships back. They were told to take a walk. Now GM is making money, and if they were a good Christian company, they would be looking for all the people they stiffed and give them restitution and make amends with God, whether it's once a year or every Friday. Yeah, but they're not going to do that because communists don't give back. They only take. We got back every dime we used to rescue the banks. The banks are no friends of the American people, not when they're paying silly interest like 1%. Do you know that banks borrow from the Fed for nothing? And they lend the money right back to the Fed at 2% interest? How are you going to pay all your bills when you're up against that kind of usury? I am not spying on American citizens. I wouldn't mind it if they were spying on all American citizens, but they're only spying on their enemies. Obamacare will be good for America. No way will it be good. It's a nightmare in planning. And you want the proof of the pudding? Of 40 dead veterans who couldn't get health care. And that's under the best health care. Can you imagine what's coming with Obamacare? You can keep your family doctor. Yeah, and I add to that, you can keep your country. Premiums will be lowered by $2,500. How's that, huh? If you like it, you can keep your current health care plan. It's just like shopping at Amazon. I knew nothing about fast and furious gun running to Mexican drug cartels. The American people have no idea. I'm telling you, there's 100,000 dead Mexicans in Mexico that were killed by narco terrorists. They were hacked to pieces. They were machine gunned down. One mayor of one Mexican town was killed and his wife was wounded. His wife, recovering from the wounds, ran for mayor of the same town. And they got her, a beautiful woman. They got her, pulled her out of her car on the road, and her last words were, please don't kill my little daughter. And they gunned her down, and then they chopped her up. And that's what's going on. You got Al-Qaeda in Mexico using Mexican terrorists using Al-Qaeda tactics. And there's 1,200,000 gang members in the United States, and most of them are here illegally. MS-13 is making all kinds of deals to kill Americans, and we're not doing anything about it. Eric Holder is protecting them. And the Mexican government is the biggest problem that we have in the United States, because they have unleashed hell on us, and they're not paying reparations. And they're not taking, they're forcing their people to escape the terror in Mexico. And they're coming here and bringing the terror with them. Plus, all new diseases that we got rid of 100 years ago. I knew nothing about Fast and Furious gun running to Mexican drug cartels. I knew nothing about IRS targeting conservative groups. I knew nothing about what happened in Benghazi. Oh, we're going to rescue 300 African girls in Nigeria, and we're pulling out all the stops. One day after they were kidnapped, Obama offered all kinds of help. It took the Nigerian government 18 days to accept it. But four guys on a cell phone begging for cover, begging for help, begging for firepower, they got a fast, busy signal. Four Americans with families, with wives, with daughters, with children. And you know how they describe them in the media, in the communist media? Ambassador Chris Stevens and three others. That's all you ever heard. Ambassador Chris Stevens and three others. Like the other three didn't count, only the ambassador counted. And if you look at the photo of that ambassador being carried out by a guy with a cell phone in his mouth, if you look at it real close, you'll see he's still alive. I knew nothing about what happened in Benghazi. Why is he still alive? Because his head is still erect, like muscles are holding his head. Otherwise, his head would be all over the place. I have never known my uncle from Kenya, who was in the country illegally and that was arrested and told to leave the country over 20 years ago. And I have never lived with that uncle. He finally admitted that he did know his uncle and that he did live with him. And the biggest lie of all, I, Barack Hussein Obama, pledge to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States of America. So help me God. That wasn't in there, was it, in that pledge? God is no longer in the pledge, Republicans or Democrats. Do not use the word God. Yet Harry Truman, when he was sworn as president and took the oath, he pulled the Bible out of the Supreme Court judge's hands and he kissed it. Where are our Harry Trumans today? Where are our Joe McCarthy's today? Where are the communists today? They're all over the place, man. They're in the House. They're in the Senate. They're the ones that were spitting on GIs in the 60s. And now this guy, Mark Pryor, who is never served his country, is running for office against an ex-military guy, and he's condemning the ex-military guy for using his military service to get elected. He says it should be a level playing field, that pro-Americans should be treated the same as communists. Yeah. Okay, so having said that, let me see if we can steal back for a tune, and we'll give you a tune. Everly Brothers.
Until I kissed ya. How did I exist until I kissed ya? Never had you on my mind. Now you're there all the time. Never knew what I missed till I kissed ya. Uh-huh, I kissed ya. Oh yeah. I kissed ya. Uh-huh. My life's not the same now that I kissed ya. Oh.
never knew what I missed till I kissed ya. Uh-huh, I kissed ya. Oh yeah. You don't realize what you do to me, and I didn't realize what a kiss could be. Got a way about you. Now I can't live without you. Never knew what I missed till I kissed you. Uh-huh, I kissed you. Oh yeah. You don't realize what you do to me, and I didn't realize what a kiss could be. Got a will about you. Now I can't live without you. Never
knew what I missed till I kissed you. Uh-huh, I kissed you. Oh yeah, I kissed you. Uh-huh, I kissed you. Oh yeah, I kissed you. Yep, that was when true love bloomed. Okay, here's the preliminary party platform, the Spirit of America Party. One term per termite, $1 max a champagne contribution. The only lobby will be in a hotel. The new national anthem is "The Party's Over." The party's over. National prayer will be "Our Father," because everybody can say a prayer to "Our Father." And I got to tell you something, I was very impressed. About maybe 8 years ago, I'm watching PBS, you know, the Perverted Bestiality System, and they were doing a business meeting in Abu Dhabi or Dubai, and the audience was full of guys wearing dish dashes and gutras. It was all Arabs, and The moderator was an American woman, and she came out on the stage neatly dressed, you know, a jacket and a skirt, and she had on a hijab, a scarf. Actually, she had a regular headscarf, you know, nice silk headscarf. And she asked the audience to join her in a prayer, and she said the Our Father. And I'm saying, man, these guys are not protesting. They're not saying. But if you think of the words of the Our Father, it's like a non-denominational prayer for anybody who believes in God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Who can argue with that? Thy kingdom come. Who says it's not coming? Thy will be done. If you obey God, you're doing the right thing. On earth as it is in heaven, we believe in paradise. Give us this day our daily bread. Who doesn't want to eat today? And forgive us our trespasses. Yeah, I'm going to get to heaven if I hurt somebody. I got to make amends. As we forgive others who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. What's temptation? A 14-year-old girl reading a book about sex in a communist cucumber school? That's temptation. Her father showed up at a meeting and protested it, and he left in handcuffs. And people who don't get the message said, well, he must have been abusive. Yeah, he was abusive, all right. He said, why are you doing this to my daughter? She's 14 years old. Our family has a virginity code. Yeah. And now the daughter is standing up in school and saying that she can't believe what the school did to her father. Okay, so what are the... we mentioned the Our Father... Right, and for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And yep, and everybody believes that God is almighty, no matter whose God you're praying to. I'll tell you a quick story. I was in Saudi Arabia on business, and I was the guest of a fanatic. And he was taking me to his place of business from the airport, and as he went past every mosque, he ran in and said a prayer. And he said to me after the third mosque, he said, do you know what we do to people who drink alcohol? I said, no, I have no idea. He goes, we take them in front of the mosque and we whip them. I said, my God, you'd need a drink after that, wouldn't you? But it was funny that I forgot what my point was. I know what it was. I said to him, we were eating luncheon, I said, suppose a man in darkest Africa has never been exposed to the Quran or the Bible or the Torah. Suppose this man believed only in a tree, but because of that tree that he worshipped, he did good things all his life. When that man dies, will he go to heaven? And he said, no. He said, no, there's only one God, it is Allah. And when I left at the for the airport to come home to the States, he gave me a cassette that said, was a story of why Christmas didn't count. Yeah. So, and a friend of mine that was Lebanese when we were in Kuwait in 93, right after Saddam was pushed out, all the cabs in Kuwait are red Chevy Caprices. So we hailed a cab, and a red Chevy Caprice pulled up, and we jumped in. And after we were in, and we saw that the guy had an AK-47 in the front seat, covered by his gutra, his headdress, and he had a Quran on the dashboard. So I know they were hunting Palestinians at the time. They threw every Palestinian in the country out. Everyone. Wasn't one left. They seized their businesses. They believed that the Palestinians were in cahoots with Saddam, and they seized everyone. If they pulled you over at a roadblock, they sent you right to the airport, and they confiscated all your goods. If you had a business, they confiscated your business. So when we jumped in the cab and we noticed the AK-47, my friend says to the guy that's driving us, he goes, are you hunting Iraqis? And the guy says, no, I'm hunting Palestinians. And then he dropped us off where we had to go, and he said goodbye, and my friend turned to me and said, you cannot argue with these people. And so that's the rule of thumb. When you're dealing with terrorists, you cannot argue with them because they're on a completely different track than you. And liberals think that they can negotiate their way out of anything on their knees at the pilot, at the cockpit door, steeped in pilot blood, and they're going to debate. So having said that, let me see what else we're saying about the 40, oh, we did that. Okay, let's see. Here we go. We said the Pledge of Allegiance always under God. The national hymn should be the battle hymn of the Republic. A moment of silence is a prayer muzzle. When they call for a moment of silence, they're telling you, shut up, Christian. It's like somebody wishing you happy holidays. That's an F-U. And season's greeting means up yours. Yeah, you got to learn to interpret the signals, my friends. We are in an enemy camp, and we're outnumbered. So the Pledge of Allegiance must always be under God. And the national slogan is, Democrats, Communists, go back to Globia. Globia is the mythical country that all anti-Americans must go to. No real estate taxes. We got time to own your property outright. And reduce the government size by 80%, a 40% the military raise, and one free food day at the commissary every month, all your wife can carry in 10 trips. No EPA, no IRS, no OSHA, no foreign aid anywhere until we pay our bills. I figure if we open up all the oil wells and the gas wells, and we dig for gold and silver, we should be able to pay our bills in about 11 months. But it won't do any good because the Democrats will just spend more. They'll say, look, we have no bills. It's time to run up another $20 trillion. So we got to put an end to the spending. And the way to do that is to reduce the government size by 80%. No grants, no junkets. The maximum political staff for any congressman or senator is 4 people, and they can't be family. Immigration, a moratorium of 1 year. That's right. Sorry, fellas, we're not taking any visas. We're not accepting anybody into the country until we get our immigration problem checked and in hand. And definitely one sealed border. Sealed tighter than a well digger's ass in Alaska in the wintertime. Build Mexico for their citizens. Mexico is the 13th largest economy in the world, and they can well afford to take care of their people. They just got to stop being super greedy on the top. And the Pope will tell them they got to do it. So it becomes the Catholic thing to do. One spoken language, English, learned in 3 weeks. Free Rosetta Stone in place of Obama phone. There's no reason people can't speak English in this country. They don't want to. In 3 weeks, you can be speaking English with Rosetta Stone. You could add your own suggestion here. Okay, so that's our party platform as in the beginning. In the beginning. What is it? The Lord saw what he did, and he said it was good. Okay, what are we going to do here? Want to do a little Brazilian sound? tell you a quick story, being that we're listening to Brazilian music. We have a friend that's Brazilian. She goes out with a buddy of mine. And she just became an American citizen. So my buddy went to the swearing-in ceremony. And when he came out, he was so upset. I said, "What's the matter?" He said, "You wouldn't believe what this swearing-in ceremony, how it took place." I said, "What are you talking about?" He says, a guy comes up. These people are, most of these people are skin-colored, you know, tan, black, Orientals. And these are the people that were at this swearing-in ceremony. And this guy got up, and he was a Latino with a high voice, and he said, he told the people that had just become American citizens that they're going to find out that the white man doesn't like them in this country. And then he told them that if they have any problems getting buying a car, buying a home, renting an apartment, to call him, and he gave everybody the phone number. So he set these people off instead of saying, "Welcome to the United States. We love you, and we're glad that you chose to become citizens of this great country, and we hope that you blend in and become part of the melting pot that makes us great as Americans." But no, he told them all the negatives. And when those people walked out those doors into the streets of New York, everyone already had a seed planted in their head that white America hates their guts. Okay? So that night that we go to dinner to celebrate that this girl's American citizenship, and we go to a restaurant, and she is dressed in a Brazilian fashion. You know, they use a lot of color. They use different jewelry. She looked beautiful. Okay? So we walk into this restaurant. The restaurant is all white. And she got uncomfortable. I said, "What's the matter?" She said, "Everybody's staring at me. And it's because of my color." I says, "No, it's not because of your color. It's because you're beautiful." And that made her feel more comfortable. But imagine all these other people that were sworn in by the United States government and told that the government hates them, that the people of the United States hates them because of their color. And this guy is running the immigration, swearing in a portion for new citizens in New York City. And that's what's going on, and that's why we're losing our country, and that's why we're splintered more than 100 pickup sticks. It is unbelievable. And you know what? What's really sad? When we fall, nobody's going to take us in. All these people that are taking this country down think they're going to get special jobs. Yeah, they're going to get special jobs. They're going to be conductors on a train to a gas chamber. Unbelievable. We'll give you a little Brazilian soft shoe, and then we'll go to the news. We'll be right back. This is from PJ Media. Hi there. In addition to the Benghazi attacks, it appears the reported kidnapping of 276 Nigerian schoolgirls by a notorious terror group, Muslim terror group. Don't be afraid to say the word Muslim. Is another tragedy that could haunt Hillary Clinton's anticipated presidential bid in 2016. Enter Boko Haram, as reported by the Daily Beast. Mrs. Clinton refused to designate the Muslim terrorist organization as such during her time at the State Department. Our own Roger L. Simon reacts to the news. Of course, anyone who has been paying the slightest attention to world affairs, surely as Secretary of State, would have known about Boko Haram's legendary psychopathic misogyny for years. So what a possible excuse could there be for not branding them a Muslim terrorist organization? Not one word of Muslim in this article. Could this have been the work of the same person who refused to answer police for backup from our now deceased ambassador in Libya? It's certainly consistent. Brian Preston writes the following at the PJ Tatler. Clinton's refusal to call Boko Haram a Muslim terrorist group kept American law enforcement from going after Boko Haram for more than 2 years. What's the big deal? Obama bin Laden gave Osama bin Laden 4 months to escape before he took action, and everybody's bragging that he took him out. He didn't want to take him out. He gave him 4 months to get away. Would you have given him 4 months? I've given him 4 minutes. And that poor doctor who risked his life to give us that inside information is rotting away in prison, and we've done nothing to get him out. You could get him out tomorrow. All you got to do is tell Pakistan, no aid. No aid whatsoever. Not a dime. Not a dime until we see this guy on American soil getting a wreath of flowers alive. For 2 years, while it was building up strength and terrorizing Nigeria, he also adds the list of important questions surrounding the former state secretary's judgment. You know what it might be? It might be that blood clot that might have affected her brain. Yeah, they say a blood clot is a heart attack. Did you know that? That's what my physician calls it. Did Clinton refuse to designate Boko Haram a terrorist group to help build the Obama's campaign? Al-Qaeda is decimated and on the run. You're on the run to the USA. Yeah, they're on the run, all right. Okay. Bridget Johnson from PJ Media says, the teenage girls are the canaries in the coal mine, warning the world that it just might be ready to listen, that Nigeria is hardly has the control over Al-Qaeda's link to Boko Haram that it claimed. A lot of trouble in Nigeria. All the scams, all the internet scams come out of Nigeria. I come back on a plane from the Middle East with a Nigerian who had come back from Nigeria and was heading home, to Washington, D.C. And I said, it must be good to visit your country. And he goes, this is the last time I'm going. I said, how come? He says, I just went there to bury my father. He says, but everybody there, when they see you're an American, they figure you're rich. And they'll do anything from begging from you to threatening you. It's not a comfortable trip. And he said, he also said, don't trust the Nigerians. And this is from a Nigerian. Now, I know Nigerians that are priests, Catholic priests. And one of them is missing an eye because they left him for dead after hitting his church. And the other one is almost a saint, this guy. He really is. He gives a good lecture. And so, like we all know, there's good and bad in everybody. But it must be hard to be a Christian in Nigeria when you're on the hunt by Muslim terrorists, fanatical Muslims. bad Muslims, the ones who want to cut your throat and hack women to death. She also brings a reaction from a State Department where Linda Thomas Greenfield, Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs, called the Muslim Terrorist Organization a group of Muslim bandits. Additionally, Thomas Greenfield defended the timing of the U.S. response to the kidnapping. They responded a lot quicker than they did to Benghazi's cry for help. You know, you train all your life in the U.S. military for the day when you're going to have to stand and deliver. And the one thing that gives you courage is knowledge in the fact that you will not stand alone and that your country will not abandon you like Jimmy Carter did to the hostages in Iran. Your country will not abandon you. And as long as you can keep fighting, help is on the way. And you're there fighting for 7 hours and you're waiting to hear that bugle from the 7th Cavalry and they never come. And I guess with your dying words, you must curse the land you were born in. It is really sad. It is really sad. And who did it? Draft dodgers. A whole clique of draft dodgers. Not one of them ever served their country. The President of the United States is a draft dodger and a woman molester. And that's what we have. Those are our examples. You want other examples? Look at Hollywood. Look at all the crap that comes out of Hollywood. Look at the entertainment industry. Do you want your daughter to grow up to become another Miley Cyrus? Huh? That poor father that had to go to a high school to defend his daughter's virginity. His 14-year-old daughter. Do you know that there are girls that tell their mothers they can't hold out much longer? There's too much peer pressure? You don't think that's not happening? You don't think there's oral sex in the fifth grade in public schools? Well, maybe you should go and sit in a classroom one day. Did you see the teacher to try to break up a fight between two thugs? And she used a broom to break it up, and they fired her? How's that? We know of a teacher who got in between two girls fighting and was thrown over a desk, and she's been on painkillers, and she's out on disability for the rest of her life with back trouble. And that's what's going on. When I went to school, if you did that, you would be hanging in a cloakroom by your shirt collar. And every time a nun went by, they'd give you a shot. Yeah. You couldn't do that in a Catholic school when I grew up. You couldn't raise your hand. You couldn't say but, the second but, and never got out. All you heard was slap. Yeah. And, of course, we don't do that today. We raise our children to be inside animals. Yeah. Not on the outside. It's ridiculous, man. Now we need armed guards in schools. In the kindergarten, the kids are practicing lockdown. We haven't even got to nuclear war tactics yet. Wait till we have to do duck and cover again like we did in the 50s. It is really sad. And now your nuke can be delivered by drone from inside the city. Don't have to wait for the ones to come from outer space. The establishment surrenders again. Joe Miller for Senate. Joe is a good guy. He's up in Alaska. While establishment Republicans gloat about Tuesday's election results, in North Carolina, U.S. House leadership is pushing through more government graft and promising to deliver on amnesty for millions of illegal aliens. Let the Mexican government pay for them. It's their Mexicans. It's a Mexican problem. It's not ours. They just happen to come over the border. We got to round them up and send them back. It is time to close the doors. The city is compromised. Don't be fooled by the great establishment lie that conservatives can't win and we must therefore entrust America's fragile future to the permanent ruling class. Rhinos are bad news. Rhinos are bad news. I watched that charade called candidates running for office that gave us Mitt Romney. Did you know that the largest contributor to John Kerry was Bain Capital? Did you know that? You got to check. If you want to know about your congressman, find out what his source of funds are. There is a service for free on the internet. I can't remember the name of it. But if you look at the financial records of senators and congressmen, I think they'll come up. And just keep Googling till you find it. You're going to be shocked to see who's lining the pockets of who. I should have done Harry Reid, the cattle queen of Montana. The Republican establishment has proved over and over again that they're not serious. They've been hiding for 5 years hoping that Obama will fall and that they can just walk in and pick up the check that they didn't write. They talk like us when it's election time, but they govern like the Democrats when they get to Washington. One term per termite. Don't let them get comfortable. It is as predictable as the rising sun. More debt, more crony capitalism, more corporate welfare. Now they want $400,000 to build a monument to liberated women. Yes, I hope somebody welds all the toilet seats to the toilet cover. And then in the upright position. It's as predictable as the rising sun. More debt, more crony capitalism, more corporate welfare, more amnesty, more corruption, and surrender on Obamacare. I got to tell you about crony capitalism and corporate welfare. When I grew up, corporations were the backbone of America, and they were partners with the American worker and people. You know why? Because they were the World War II generation, and they learned how to fight as a team and to build as a team. And when they came home, they worked as a team. And the guys that moved up the ladder brought everybody up the ladder with them. Women who could only be secretaries used to clip coupons and buy shares of stock every week. And when they retired, they were worth at least $1 million. But that was yesterday's corporate structure. Today, they're being hounded out of the United States by the EPA and the government grifters who look to fine them, big money fines. And so rather than pay the big money fines and be hassled by the EPA, if they went to Jebel Ali, a free trade zone in the United Arab Emirates, you take a company like Mobil, whose corporate headquarters were in New York. I think it was New Rochelle, New York. Their corporate headquarters in New York State. And the politicians got so greedy, they drove them to Virginia. And Virginia cut them a deal. And then Virginia got greedy. So I think now they're down in Texas or something. But if they went to the United Arab Emirates and said, hey, this is Mobil Oil. Listen, we're thinking of coming your way. What can you do for us? I guarantee you they could get 100 years no taxes. I guarantee you they could get 100 years no taxes. And the government would provide a workforce for them and give them all kinds of incentives. But not this country. So this country with the EPA and OSHA and government shakedowns and harassment, you think these guys that are giving themselves bonuses for watching porn, you think they're not reaching out for a kickback from somebody? I know for a fact that they do. So what do? They drive all of these corporations offshore. And then the corporations learn that they're making more money overseas than they are here. Caterpillar makes 65% of their revenue overseas. only 35% of their revenue comes from the USA. Why should Caterpillar stay here? What's in it for them? What are you going to do, throw Caterpillar out and replace it with a Japanese company? Who's going to send their money home?
Yeah. So think about that. So they drove these guys overseas, and now these guys are taking advantage of all the tax breaks overseas and special deals. And now the government says, look, come back. All is forgiven. Bring your money and pay us the tax, and we'll forgive you. What would you do? What would you do? It's time for a game change. It's time to confront corruption. It's time to reform a broken-down system. My friends, two things tomorrow, you'll have money in your pocket. One term for termite and $1 champagne contribution. Why do they need all this money? Why are you getting 10 phone calls a day? This is the Republican Party or the Democrat Party. We need your help. No, you don't need my help. All you need is a dollar. You take that dollar and you make the most of it. Well, we have to buy airtime. Well, you know what? Maybe you shouldn't have to buy airtime. Maybe the airtime should be free. We have to pay for the TVs. No, maybe it should be free, okay? Why should the American people subsidize your largesse and your living large? Screw you. And when these guys leave office, they take their war chest with them. Torricelli, the Democrat from New Jersey, walked off into the daylight, $5 million in a war chest. He was supposed to give it to a Frank Loudmouthburg, and he didn't do it. So you know what they said? Okay, it's all right. We'll get another $5 million from the suckers. Yeah. And that's what's happening. Inside trading, why are they allowed to buy stocks on tips? And you can't do that. They'll put you in jail. And they rescinded the law. They got caught screwing the people, and the people said, you can't do insider trading. They said, okay, we won't do it anymore. 30 days later, they were back doing it. That's what you got running. That's why I say one term per termite. Here's a question. Can Washington tax marijuana? You don't think they're going to let this drug get out into the market and not tax it? You're lucky you're not paying for a tax on air by the gasp. Yes, he's up to 42 gasps an hour. Charge him a dime a gasp. What? He doesn't want to pay? Cut his air supply. Illegals visit Capitol Hill, demand amnesty through executive orders. Bloomberg writer, black Republicans are a lower group. Half-cocked car crash triggers gun confiscation. The Gosnell movie smashes crowdfunding records, exceeds funding goal. Pelosi, GOP needed special Benghazi panel to silence ISA. Gaming the system, email reveals how Wyoming VA workers were taught to manipulate records. Rudyard Kipling wrote a poem. He wrote a series of poems. They were called Barracks Ballads. And there's one about, you know, like we call our GI, GI Joe. The Brits call their GI a Tommy. And in the poem that he writes about Tommy, he states, it's Tommy this and Tommy that, and Tommy owes his soul. But it's brave red line of heroes when the drums begin to roll. Yes, the drums begin to roll. That's the call to war. And yes, the drums begin to roll. Oh, it's brave red line of heroes when the drums begin to roll. He knew, you know. He knew how the public can parade them off. But when it's time to support them, they don't do it. They got Davy Crockett's lesson for liberals. You want to hear this one? You know, Davy died at the Alamo, right? Good-looking guy. Yeah. Better than any Hollywood actor. Liberal advocates of big government view your money as their money. Since the U.S. Congress was first established, there have been congressmen who want to spend your money on their projects. In fact, the authority to spend other people's money has long been too great a temptation. But one congressman learned the hard way that spending other people's money can backfire on an elected official. Davy Crockett learned this many years ago, just in time to save his seat. Before gaining immortality at the Alamo, Davy Crockett served in the United States Congress 1827 to 1831 and 1832 to 1835. But his philosophy concerning spending other people's money is even more relevant today than it was all those years ago. He came to this philosophy after a misstep in which he voted with his colleagues in Congress to use taxpayer dollars to help private citizens in Georgetown recover and rebuild after a devastating fire, according to Edward S. Ellis, author of The Life of Colonel Crockett. Crockett's charitable vote did not go unnoticed by one of his more influential constituents. This particular constituent was well informed on current events such as Crockett's voting record, knowledgeable of the Constitution, and set in his beliefs concerning the responsibilities of a congressman. Had he lived today, he would be a member of the Tea Party. Crockett was home stumping for re-election when he happened upon this particular constituent plowing a field. When Crockett approached the man and asked for his support, the farmer sternly refused. It seems he knew all about Crockett's vote to use public funds to help the residents left homeless by the Georgetown fire recover. Crockett was taken aback by the man's attitude and claimed certainly nobody would complain that a great and rich country like ours should give a significant sum of $20,000 to relieve its suffering women and children, particularly with a full and overflowing treasury. And I am sure that if you had been there, you would have done just as I did. That is when Crockett learned a lesson that saved his seat in Congress. The farmer replied, "It's not the amount, Colonel, that I complain about, it's the principle. In the first place, the government ought to have in the Treasury no more than enough for legitimate purposes. The power of collecting and dispersing money at pleasure is the most dangerous power that can be entrusted to man. While you are contributing to relieve one, you are drawing it from thousands who are even worse off than he." Very true. "You will very easily perceive what a wide door this would open for fraud and corruption and favoritism on the one hand and for robbing the people on the other." So that's pretty good, huh? All right, we're going to go to a tune because I got to clear my throat. And we shall dedicate this one to people who have fallen on hard times.
They used to tell me I was building a dream, and so I followed the mob. When there was earth to plow or guns to bear, I was always there, right on the job. They used to tell me I was building a dream, with peace and glory ahead. Why should I be standing in line, just waiting for bread? Once I built a railroad, made it run, made it race against time. Once I built a railroad, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once I built a tower to the sun, brick, mortar, and lime. Once I built a tower, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once in khaki suits, he will look swell, full of that Yankee doodle-dee-dum. Half a million boots, went marching through hell, and I was a kid with a drum. Hey, don't you remember? They called me Al. It was Al, Al all the time. Say, don't you remember? I'm your pal. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once I built a railroad, I made it run, and I made it race against time. Once I built a railroad, now it's done. Hey, brother, ain't got a dime about you, have you? And once I built a tower, yes, a tower to the sun, of brick, mortar, and lime. Yes, I'm the fella built the tower, and now it's done. Hey, buddy, ain't got a dime about you, have you? Once in khaki suits, he will look swell. Follow that Yankee doodle-dee-dum. Half a million boots went marching through hell, and I was a kid with a drum. Say, don't you remember? Don't you remember? They called me Al. It was Al, Al all the time. Don't you remember? I'm your pal. Brother, can you spare a dime?
Is it any wonder that I've fallen for you? You're the spell I'm under, and I'm helpless, it's true. Is it any wonder why my skies are so blue when I search the
see, we got one more for you, and then we'll jump back into politics. Fats Waller, Faith of Our Fathers, Flamenco Clapping, Gloria by the Channels, Give Me the Simple Life. Yeah. We'll do Give Me the Simple Life. It's about a girl that knew what she wanted.
just serve me tomatoes and mashed potatoes. Give me the simple life. A cottage small is all I'm after, not one that's spacious and wide. A house that rings with joy and laughter, and the ones you love inside. Some like the high road, I like the low road, free from the care and strife. Sounds corny and seedy, but yes, indeedy, give me the simple life.
Inside CIA director, it was weapons running in Benghazi, Libya. Tosh Plumlee, a former career contract pilot for the CIA, tells what he believes was really going on in Benghazi. An illegal international arms trade with our enemies. Oh, didn't they go after Reagan with Iran-Contra? And our government's involvement in a conflict that we then helped escalate into a civil war, ship weapons to both sides of that conflict, and we store those. I got to read the rest. We store those weapons to a CIA safe houses on a program that is basically nothing more than money and profits. Selling the weapons, transferring the money to foreign companies, foreign agents, and using those weapons coming out of our stockpile, which are supposed to be monitored by our own Congress and Senate, and they are not. So there's no oversight on these weapons, of where these weapons end up. So when you're in a foreign country, and before the Syrian rebels were formed, there were scattered groups out there, and we supplied the weapons to those scattered groups, some of them being Al-Qaeda, some of them being on both sides. It doesn't matter. My viewpoint, it doesn't seem to matter what the legalities of the situation were. So it was the same similar situation of Iran-Contra, setting up the Southern Front, violation of the Boland Amendment. Same type MO, same type operation, because the operation back in Iran-Contra days was very successful. No one went to jail. And anybody that did get convicted of any crimes were immediately pardoned. Same thing's going to happen in this situation if anybody is brought to justice for gun running in the Middle East. How does he know? His military sources in the Pentagon have told him that 5 years ago, a task force was sent to Afghanistan to do drone work, and in the process of gathering intelligence, they uncovered a warehouse in Benghazi full of American arms. Those arms were being filtered, according to that source and another source and another source. Military sources direct out of the Pentagon relayed that information that U.S. weapons from the direct commercial sales program monitored by the Blue Lantern Report was taken out of U.S. arsenals, shipped in C-130s to Jordan, Pakistan, put in CIA safe houses, and then relayed back to various factions. Not necessarily the Syrian rebels at that point in time, because at that time there was no Syrian rebels. But factions had access to those weapons, and those weapons the ambassador found out about. He relayed information back on numerous occasions. The ambassador did, his staff, about what the intelligence that they had uncovered about pilfering U.S. weapons from Jordan in this area. Now that information was received and nothing was done about it. It was covered up. Everything is a cover-up in this country. You got the, I forget the guy's name, that was a private, and he stole 200,000 emails working as a, in the Defense Department, in intelligence, and he was a private, and he stole 200,000 emails. And then you have KGB agent Snowden, who stole 800,000 emails, and you know the names of people in those emails. Those people are dead. But you don't believe that. You believe he was a freedom fighter. Yeah. Okay. So between the two of them, they lifted a million pieces of information, and we can't get into Harvard and get a look at Obama's records. What's going on here, friends? On April the 30th, 2014, or Occidental, and look at Obama's records. Or the Motor Vehicle Bureau in Connecticut. On April the 30th, 2014, Plumlee was interviewed by Doug and Joe Hagman on their radio podcast, in which Plumlee discusses the questions that should be asked in the upcoming Benghazi investigation. Here it is again. The Benghazi attack that killed Ambassador Chris Stevens and three other Americans. They never mentioned the other three. It's like they don't count. Do you know the other three's names? Sean Smith, Woods, and Glenn Doherty. I forget Woods' first name. But, man, how about, never mind his three other Americans. What about the guy that was left on the roof that is alive? How come nobody has subpoenaed him? How come nobody is talking to him? Or is he dead already and they've hidden it? His questions are based on what his experience with Iran-Contra and what his Pentagon and military sources have told him has been going on in Benghazi. You can hear the interview by clicking on this link, and they have a link. So listen to Robert Tosh Plumlee on Hagman and Hagman. H-A-G-M-A-N-N. Hagman and Hagman. And you should find it. It's April the 30th, 2014. Plumlee says he's been told by three reliable sources that he is being targeted by the Justice Department to preparing a subpoena for him to appear before some sort of committee. But the 74-year-old CIA pilot is not standing down. Please forward this to your elected congressional representative and senators along with Trey Gowdy. Yes, okay, so this is going to be real interesting, and we're going to learn the dirty inner workings of a corrupt government. And we're all going to be sick while Putin laughs and the Chinese, the Chaicoms laugh. Yep. It's only a matter of time before we got a Rosetta Stone for Chinese. I don't know what we're going to do, folks. We are splintered so beyond repair. Okay, let's see what else we got. The state just told Common Core to shove it. This state told Common Core to shove it. I call it Communist Core. This is from westernjournalism.com. This state just told Common Core to shove it. And they have a picture of the White House, I think. I call it the Red House. Soon it'll be a hen house. Okay. Let's see what it says. Initially sold as a vehicle through which states could design their own specific educational standards, Common Core has since been roundly criticized as yet another, I'm inserting the word communist, a federal power grab within America's public school system. In addition to redefining time-tested teaching methods, the curriculum has also come under fire for the inclusion of communist ideology. I don't believe in using the word leftist when communist is more suitable. within leftists is like calling terrorists instead of Muslim terrorists. Yeah, and leftist is the same thing. Without the word communist, it means nothing. Other complaints against the program include its ability to collect a wide array of personal information from each student. Furthermore, critics say the curriculum dismisses the importance of artistic expression, including literary masterpieces, and replaces such studies with impersonal, standardized lesson plans. As a result, several states have already enacted legislation designed to drop the federally mandated program in favor of more sensible alternatives. Unfortunately, the Departments of Justice and Education have fought back. I got to tell you, I have regrets. I defended the teachers' union in a show about five shows ago. I'm sorry, I'm eating my words, I have no use for them, and all they do is foment a communism. I have no respect for teachers' unions. And whatever prompted me to defend them in their quest to get a raise, I don't know, because the results that I'm seeing that are coming out of Communist Cucumber School are distressing. And this is the first generation that has been labeled as lazy. Lazy. You never heard an American being described as lazy, an American worker. But you know what? We believe too much of our own BS. And I can't stand guys who say we're the strongest nation on the face of the earth. The last time I heard those words, Al Gore was on a platform running for president, and he was doing a mambo with Joe Liverwurst. And they were prancing around on the platform saying, we're the strongest nation on the face of the earth, and right after that we got hit in 9-1-1. You do not spit in God's face. As a result, several states have already enacted legislation designed to drop the federally mandated program in favor of more sensible alternatives. The Departments of Justice and Education have fought back. News broke this week that the two agencies sent a letter to Indiana officials warning them that their plan to replace Common Core, even though the state's previous education program was among the nation's best, would result in serious communist consequences. Nevertheless, state opposition to the program continues. We're going to have another civil war. I wonder, does anybody know how many southern states were on the Stars and the Bars flag? Was it 13? I'll check it out in the next tune, because I got a feeling it's going to be more than 13 this time. Nevertheless, but I don't count on the New England states, the home of all the way down to Virginia, is really in bad shape, including Virginia, and North Carolina is next. Nevertheless, state opposition to the program continues. As recent reports indicate, Missouri legislators passed a bill that would sever ties between the state and the Common Core curriculum. House Bill 1490, too bad it wasn't 1492, reportedly sailed through both of the state's legislative chambers. Mexico is responsible for the Mexican citizens in the United States. They drove them here. Mexico has to pay up. Mexico has to do their fair share. Mexico has to start sending money to the hospitals that are going out of business, taking care of their citizens. Members of the House and Senate, Mexico gets a complete pass. You never heard one politician ever blame the Mexican government for this problem. You know why? Because those politicians want to see a destroyed United States. And they think they're going to be in charge when the new government comes to power. Members of the House and Senate are now set to convene to iron out a few differences between two versions of the bill. Yeah, so you want to hear a comment? Let me see if we got any comments here. 14 comments. Good for Missouri. Other states need to follow suit. But the progressive liberals. Progressive is a nice word for communist. Progressive sounds good. Hey, the guy's a progressive. He's progressing. Yeah. If you say conservative, it's a nice word, too. You know, the guy's conserving. No, they'll say he's a right winger. No, he's not. He's mainstream American. There's no such thing as a right wing. There's only communists and mainstream Americans. But, progressive liberals believe our kids belong to the state, including the ones they kill. Indiana has already done this also. Not exactly. According to the last news release from Channel 6, the Governor Pence likes the idea of tracking students all the way through school. And here's Cody says, our state of Alabama needs to grow a set of gonads and follow suit. Come on, South Dakota, stop being such wimps. Can the core. Florida, refuse common crap and don't take money from the feds. You know what? That's a brave statement, don't take money from the feds. But you want a braver statement? Don't send money to the feds. And then you won't have to ask for your money back. Tell them you're doing a job and we're not paying you. That's it. I'm sending you half because you're a half-ass. Texas, Alaska, Nebraska, and don't think there may not, before we draw blood, there will be a tax revolution. And the best way to do it is to send the government half. And that'll result in, you know what the government will do? They'll deny children the right to go to the White House and see what's on the floor. Yeah. And they'll deny vets from going to outdoor memorials. That's how they'll punish us. And they'll cut the military salary in half. But they'll only have half of what they had to steal, and they'll go broke. They can't live on a government paycheck. The other states' Board of Education, Texas, Alaska, Nebraska, and Virginia have never adopted Common Core. I call it Communist Core. Arana says Oregon needs to pull their collective heads out of their asses, too. The last thing our kids need now is to be dumbed down so they act more like sheep. Oh, yeah, man. I'd be afraid to be a student today. And all I'm hearing these college kids complain about is, you know, I got all this debt. I got all this debt. You know, I mean, I don't even have money for pot anymore. Yeah. I'm not going to be able to go on spring break and hang my udders off the balcony for beads. And I'm a business major. Yeah, you need to ask yourself just one question. Do you want the federal government? That would be liberal, progressive, Marxist. If I had the money, I would pay for every kid to get a private school education with religion as one of the main ingredients. Yeah, look at what they've done to Harvard and Yale. Both of those, I believe, were school divinity schools for clergy. Well, look what they've done to Notre Dame and Georgetown. They're supposed to be Catholic colleges. They're not Catholic colleges. It's unbelievable, man. If I wanted to open a business in Georgetown or in Notre Dame, I'd have a portable abortion clinic right outside the campus. I'd make a fortune. Yeah, in Georgetown, I could call it, what was the Sandra Fluke Memorial. Yeah, I want a headboard and I want the condom dispenser on it. And it's my right as a woman. Yeah, I know. When I blows a whistle, you hold up your babies. Let me see your babies. What's in the carriage? What do you have in that carriage? You have books? You have what? You have shoes? Shoes in the baby carriage? You have a dog? Yes. Did you have that dog by yourself? Yeah. I blows a whistle, you hold up your babies. How many babies? Two. Go back and get another one. So Holder hasn't anything more pressing to do than go after states. This guy has got to be impeached. And I say before you impeach Obama, you impeach Holder. And you take away his Gestapo arm right away. And if you successfully impeach Holder, then you can go after Obama bin Laden. So having covered that, we'll take a look at what's next. The Communist Party. You ever see some of these pictures of the Here's a picture of Obama with a socialist mop. Bankrupt America? Yes, we can. Okay, we go back to the mail. Let's see, we got new mail. 7 ways to make a liberal cry like a little girl. Oh, this is Jason Matera. I got to say, I'm watching WABC, and they have whacked all of their conservatives. Bob Grant, who passed away, but they put him in limbo. They put him out on a Sunday. I think he was there from 12 to 2, and people loved him. People grew up with Bob Grant. People have good memories of Bob Grant. And, of course, the communists got him with the race card. If you can't get him anywhere, any way else, you get him with the race card. Race card works all the time. And Bob Grant was the father of talk radio. And he's gone. He's in heaven now. He's broadcasting in heaven to all the happy conservatives that are up there. And there's not one liberal. Oh, I'm sorry, a communist. There's no communists in heaven. They have a special place they go. They're in boiler number 3 with Ted Kennedy. New York Times best-selling author Jason Matera is offering a free ebook, 7 Ways to Make a Liberal Cry Like a Little Girl. You know who Jason Matera is? Do you know Mayor Bloomberg would try to regulate no salt on the tables in restaurants? No sugar on the tables in restaurants? You could only drink up to 16 ounces of soda. And then he used to pull surprise inspections in Subway men's rooms. He had a beaker. He had a 16-ounce beaker, and he used to check to see if it was overflowing. Yeah, this is what billionaires do with their money, plus try and take your guns away and leave you naked in the streets for vultures to pick on your, eat your heart out. You know the difference between a lawyer and a vulture? A vulture waits till you're dead before he eats your heart out. The wisdom, facts, and tactics contained in this ebook are a surefire way to send Barack Obama and his supporters' heads whirling like a gyroscope. Obama, oh, so Jason Matera, he confronted Mayor Bloomingdale. I call him Mohammed Bloomingdale because him and his city council approved that mosque. He owned the city council. This is the guy that came to office denying Rudy Giuliani a third term, and as soon as he got in, he gave himself a third term. You talk about totalitarian dictators. Yeah, money can buy you love, but it can buy you a lot of political offices. And that's what he did. And then he tried to ban guns by good people, take them away from the good people and give them to criminals. And also, Jason Matera stopped him in the street one day when he was surrounded by his armed bodyguards. And he said, Mayor Mohammed the Bloomingdale, would you like a sip of my soda? And he had like a 32-ounce soda. And Bloomberg almost went for it. And then he caught himself. Hot stuff, right? And then the bullies, they roughed up Jason Matera. They chased him away. They made him go away. You know, it's like a walk in a democratic park, and a democratic park. You know how that works, right? You're a lawyer and you got a conscience, you know, and you've been taught by your religion and never to tell a lie, and you're working for the liar in chief, and all of a sudden you commit suicide. I don't believe that that fella committed suicide. First off, he was a Catholic, and it's very hard if you're a Catholic to commit suicide. The Pope doesn't like it. And the other thing is he's a lawyer, and lawyers don't commit suicide. The lawyers cause suicides. And I can't remember his name. It'll come to me after the show. Everything comes to me after the show. Our movement will die. Okay, here you go. This is about the Tea Party. Dear Patriot, I'm going to lay it out honestly for you. The Tea Party is as close as we've ever been to being permanently exiled to the political wilderness. We've always believed that no matter how they lied about us, smeared our leaders, or sabotaged our efforts, our righteous mission would overcome. We kept working and winning, and the movement kept growing. We continue to secure important policy and electoral victories that most people never hear about. I'm just thinking of victories. Virginia is lost to the Communist Party. They have a governor named Terry McAuliffe, who was a bag man for the Clintons, who was a big financial raiser for the Clintons. He bought them their house in Chappaqua. Nobody ever explained where he got the money, how it was paid back, because the Clintons are the untouchables. We've been forced that, so Virginia is in the hands of the Communist Party. I feel sorry for the descendants of Patrick Henry. I feel sorry for the defendants of Light Horse Harry Lee, the descendants of Light Horse Harry Lee, who served with Washington, and whose grandson was Robert E. I think it was a grandson, maybe a great-grandson, Robert E. Lee. And it's really sad. It's absolutely sad. Did you know that Robert E. Lee freed all his slaves upon taking the position of general of the armies of the Confederate States? Did you know that? Did you know at the end of the Civil War, a black man went into a white church to receive communion, and nobody would go up to receive communion, but one gray-haired fella that stood up next to him, and that was Robert E. Lee. How do you like that? And what did they say about Robert E. Lee? He was no good. What did they say about the stars and the bars? It's the symbol of racism. No, it's not. No, it's not. And the people that want to bring down the stars and the bars also want to bring down the stars and the stripes, and they also want to bring down the cross of Christ. And you don't believe that because you're living in Hollywood. Your whole world revolves around the channels that don't tell the truth. You have never been to a free channel. You are a mind slave of the Communist Party. You will do what they tell you on election day. You will vote for Oprah Winfrey. We kept working and winning, and the movement kept growing. We continue to secure important policy and electoral victories that most people never hear about. We have been forced to drag spineless Republican leadership kicking and screaming. The Republicans, the rhinos, are bad news. And I started to tell you about the roadshow that they put on and electing Mitt Romney. It was all of those candidates, Santorum and all of the other ones that were running for office, Bachman, and they were all... They were like showpieces. We'll bring them up, we'll show them, Newt Gingrich. And they'll all tap out because they don't have money. And at the end will be a Mitt Romney who's going to save the country. And he saved it, right? He saved it for Obama. And now they're trying to resurrect him. But you see, it's going to be another showcase, and they're going to have these little Mickey Mouse debates and who's this and who's that. If they were going to elect at a debate winner, they should have elected Gingrich because he would have mopped the floor with Obama. Obama would not have come out in round two. Gingrich would have mopped the floor with him. But you see, Gingrich wasn't the right choice for the rhinos. And I'm not saying Gingrich is the best man, because I've seen him do a couple of stunts for Hillary that I didn't like. I don't remember what they are now, but I remember him coming out for her. Anyway, but Gingrich was the man to win the debate. So now we're going to have the same scenario. They're going to bring out the Expendables, and they're all going to get a little shot at becoming the President of the United States. And then as they get down to, this guy dropped out, no money, this guy dropped out, no money, they're going to get down to, the only one that's sitting on the podium waiting for the race to be over is Jeb Bush. But I got to tell you something about Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush let Elian Gonzalez be dragged out of Miami when he was governor, and he didn't even stand at the door to block the Gestapo. Jeb Bush, according to the Cuban people who loved Elian and tried to defend Elian against the Clinton raiders led by Janet Reno, the hero of Waco, with the hero of Waco with tanks provided by Wesley Clark, that little rat that used to lead NATO. Can you believe that? How sad are we, how weak are we that we have these incompetents in high places? Wesley Clark was a presidential candidate. He's no good. He's a rat as supreme. Yes. If there was a wedding cake with two rats on it, the one would be Wesley Clark. But anyway, Jeb Bush, the Cuban people said that Jeb Bush in Miami swallowed his tongue. And you have to remember, you see, the party that has no God, that's the Democrat Party, formerly Democrat, now Communist, that party has no God. And so therefore, on religious holy days like a Good Friday and Holy Saturday and Easter Sunday, that's a good time to hit the United States, just like the Japs hit us on a Sunday. That's a good time to hit the United States because it's Holy Week. Everybody's out of Washington. We can take this kid, and if he's in a church, drag him out. And the code word for snatching the kid was bingo, 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 because they thought they were going to have to go into a church and get him. And they sold him to Fidel Castro for future favors, led by the Kennedys and the Clintons. And that's why we need one term per termite. That's it. You do your four and you hit the door. So where are we here? And Jeb Bush swallowed his tongue, according to the Latinos, the Cubans, that he betrayed. And I'm for the Cuban people. I can say, oye, como va? I love these guys. I love these guys, man. Some of my best friends are black. Oh, you want me to kiss a black baby? How old is she? Yeah. Give me a break, man. Give me a break. What hippie? You see Hillary Clinton doing her southern accent? I go nowhere. I've been here. I'm going there. Man, what a hypocrite. And then she gets up to New York and she goes, you know, not for nothing. Yeah, give me a break. Well, she's talking to the Irish community. Oh, yes, I got Irish people in my family. Yes, the Kennedys. Yes, one of us is married to a Kennedy. But the marriage was dissolved. We got a Kennedy pardon. Eric Holder, Hillary Clinton, Lois Lerner, and the rest of this dangerous administration would have never even faced a challenge on a disaster known as Obamacare. He wiped out. He went and seized money. He took the money that was in Social Security and pocketed it. He put it in another area. He took it from one pocket and put it in another. I'm not embarrassed to admit that sometimes when I think about our opponent's unlimited cash supply, $1 per champagne contribution, whether you're General Motors or your little Johnny Appleseed, $1 is the maximum you can donate to a political campaign, and that will make the playing field completely level, because all this money is corned beef money. They don't spend half of what they take in. Crooks, they're lining their pockets. One term office of $1 per champagne contribution, and you'll take your country back tomorrow. And like I say, before we spill blood in the revolution, what you do is you send them half of what they deserve and say, hey, you know, the economy is rough here. I can't be paying these taxes up front. I'm going to send you half, and let me see what kind of job you do. If you do a good job, I'll send the other half. It's at those times I think about my children and how much worse it will be for them. I'm looking at grandkids, man, and my heart is breaking. My heart is breaking. My heart is breaking. First graders are going to do their graduation in Spanish. My heart is breaking. Everybody could speak English in 3 weeks with Rosetta Stone instead of Obama phone. If you had to learn English to stay here, you would learn it real quick. For inspiration, imagine how distressing it must have been for the generations that fought off the English Empire. Do you know that slavery was strong in the English Empire in the 1600s? Over 500,000 Irish were sold into slavery by the British. Nobody knows that. I only found out about it the other day. But Google it. Check it out. And indentured servants was a form of slavery also. If you got pregnant, they added another year to your time. To rob a baron, chances are you got pregnant by being raped or by your massa. To rob a baron, it not only happened to the blacks, it happened to the whites too. But there'll be no reparations for us, and there'll be no reparations for you. The robber barons, Hitler and half the world. We need to raise what sounds like a lot of money this week, $100,000. Our opponents happily waste that kind of campaign money daily, $400 million, to build a monument to tough women. And it's easy because, and I told you what I said we would do, we would weld the toilet seats to the lids and then weld them